Blog Talk Radio.
Excited about tonight. I don't know how many of you are excited. There's so much going on in the world right now, and so many people are worried about the president and worried about the coronavirus and worried about inequality. You know, we got so much going on in communities and in the world as a whole. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm sure that this could be a time where everybody could be sad and worried and uncertain. But I'm going to tell you, Coach B is excited. I am excited because why? Because of I'm a whoever and an anyone. I'm a whoever and an anyone. And I'm excited about being a whoever and an anyone. I'm excited that who I belong to, that he has greater plans, that there's no lack in him. And who is the him? That's Jesus. There's no lack in him. He has a plan. He's in control of everything. And because I belong to him, I know that he is supplying every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Need, I'm not just talking about material things, but I'm talking about every need. Whatever it is you need, do you need peace of mind? He will supply it. Do you need joy? He will supply it. Do you need a little bit more love? He will supply it. Do you need comfort? He will supply it. Everything we need, he's supplying, even during this virus. And if you're listening in on tonight, I don't know. Maybe you've experienced the virus, or maybe you went through it, or maybe someone you love went through it. But I know for me, I haven't went through it. And it doesn't mean that I don't suffer with the ones who did go through it. I'm constantly lifting them up before the throne of grace, that they could be healed and that they could be whole, and that the Lord will deliver them according to his will. Amen. But glory to God, I am healed. I am healthy. My loved ones are healthy, and I thank God for that. I have a lot to be thankful for. Many have lost their jobs or gotten laid off, and I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm just giving God the glory, and I'm giving him the honor. I still have a job to go to. Amen. And I'm just so grateful and so blessed. I have no complaints whatsoever, you know. And so I'm excited again about the word that he will be giving us on tonight. I'm excited because I believe that it's going to minister to many of you, and I believe that it will give you hope. You know, we're going through, and I just believe that this will be the word of hope, because I want to make sure that when you leave off this call on tonight, that you know that you are a part of the anyone and the whoever's. Amen. The anyone and the whoever's. So we're going to get going and with this show on tonight. And if you got the flyers and you see it, and you can see I'm a little bit distracted, so let me just get on target. I have, bear with me here. I have a work cell phone that I don't know how to work. And I'm trying to cut it off because I don't want any distractions. I don't want it to start ringing in the middle of the show, and I don't know how to cut it off. So anyway, let me pray and believe that it will not ring and that I will be able to continue the show without any distractions. Tonight, my question is to you is, are you a part of the anyone and the whosoever? Are you a part of the anyone and the whosoever? We're going to get into this message on tonight, and I hope that it blesses you. Father God, I invite you in the studio on tonight. Father, I pray that you will have your way. Lord, we know that it's your anointing that breaks yokes, Father. And Father, we're asking for your anointing on tonight, your very presence, Father God, that will begin to break the yokes of heaviness, that will begin to break the yokes of fear, that will begin to break the yokes of uncertainty and concern and illness and sickness and disease. Father God, we believe that your anointing, Father God, will deliver us from all those things, Lord, that causes burdens on us, Father God, those things that causes concerns, Father. For your word tells us that you're concerned about the things that we're concerned about, Father. And we thank you right now, Father. So, Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would give us a rhema word, a word, Father God, in season, a word, Lord, that we could take and that it could provoke us to kingdom purpose. So we just say thank you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just get started. You know how I am. tonight I'm gonna get into the word. I'm not gonna be just giving Coach D's opinion and my analysis. I'm gonna get into the word of God. So if you have a pen or paper, I suggest that if you don't have it, that you get it, because I'm gonna be going through some scriptures, and you might want to jot them down. I always tell you to jot them down. And the reason I say that, I don't care who you're listening to. I don't care if you're listening to T.G. Jakes or little old me. You need to know the word for yourself. You can't just trust that what I say to you on tonight is the truth, because there's only one truth. So you need to know the word for yourself. Jot it down. Take notes. Go back later on. Look at the scriptures. Read them for yourself and see how they minister to you, because they minister to each one of us differently. Each one of us may, you know, the scriptures are the same. It don't change. God doesn't change. But God may give you a different revelation than he gives me. Amen? And so make sure you take notes and go back to the scriptures. I'm going to start. This is the boring part. Many think reading is boring, but when you get excited about the things of God, the word of God is exciting. You know, you read it and you begin to see all the nuggets, and you begin to see the treasures in the word. The word becomes life. It jumps off the pages. It gives you revelation. Rhema. What is rhema? Rhema is that perception. It gives you a picture. Logos is letter. It's text. But when you're reading the word of God, it becomes rhema. That means it becomes real. When you're reading it, you don't see the letters. You see the spirit of what God is saying in his word. When he says that whosoever shall believe, you see that. It's not just W-H-O-E-V-E-R, but if you see yourself being a whoever, you're seeing yourself being a believer, you're seeing yourself being able to do all things, you're seeing yourself being able to do everything that the word says you could do. You see yourself holding on to the promises of God, amen, when it's rhema. When it's meaty, should I say, it's meaty. Whoever had a soup, you know, if you're under the weather, they say the best thing for being sick is chicken soup. And whoever had a hearty chicken soup, you know, not one that's not hearty, that barely got any chicken in it, it barely got these little noodles in it. But have you ever had a hearty chicken soup? I'm talking about when you get the big egg noodles in there and you get the big chunks of chicken breast and even, and you might get a few carrots in there as well. And you just, I mean, it's hearty. And that's what the word of God should be to us. It should be hearty. When we sit down and begin to feast on it, when we get up, we should be full. It should give us some kind of revelation knowledge. We should be able to go and speak it. We should be able to go and do what the word tells us to do, or what it's telling us we can do. We should be able to do it, amen? And so that's what I'm hoping for you all on tonight. That's my prayer. My prayer is that you walk out of this show on tonight with some revelation knowledge, and that you could go out and fulfill the Great Commission, amen? So we're going to get to Mark. If you don't know anything about the gospel, In the New Testament, the Gospels, and we're talking about the first four books in the Bible. If you don't know anything about them, if you ever read John and then you go to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find one thing in common, that all of them have similar stories. And what that is that they're telling, each one of those are telling a story from their point of view. So they're telling the story from their point of view. So when you call in on Thursday night to listen to Coach D, I'm reading the story, and oftentimes once I read the word of God, I'll tell you it from my perception, what my revelation was. Amen. Yours could be different. But so we're going to read Mark's point of view, and I might get into some others, but tonight I'm going to focus on Mark's point of view. So let me read this story. It's going to be a minute, because I'm going to start in chapter 16, Mark chapter 16. I'm going to start with verse 1, and I'm going to read through the whole chapter. It's only 20 verses. That won't take long at all, because then I'm going to go back and I'm going to dissect Mark 16, 1 through 20, okay? So we're going to start again in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 20. If you'll read with me. And I'm in the English Standard Version, I believe I'm going to be reading from on tonight. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Shalom bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large, and entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter." Now, certain things, I'm going to stop for a minute. I'm not going to get into it, but I want you to just keep that on your mind because we're going to go back to it. So he told him, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Bear with me here. Where did I just go? I lost my train of thought. "That he is going before you to Galilee. There will you see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Remember that. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. But when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After these things, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country. And they went back and told the rest, but they did not believe him. Afterwards, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at a table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the messages by accompanying signs. So we're going to go back here. I tell you, awesome, awesome, awesome. This is a breathing story, and I love it. I love it because it does talk about the anyone's and whosoever's. Amen. But I want to go back to here, and I want to break this down. So why? Because sometimes you can go into the scripture and you begin to read the scripture, and you'll start finding out that it's not that, you know, there's nothing new up under the sun. What was going on then is going on now. Maybe different names, maybe different situations, maybe, you know, things may be a little bit different, but it's pretty much the same. And so when I was reading this, the first thing I thought about in chapter in verse 7 is, why did the angel tell him to go back and tell his disciples and Peter? And I was like, why is Peter and Peter? And so then as I began to study further, what I realized is that why the angel was specific in saying to go tell the disciples and Peter, because if you remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times. You know, Jesus had gave Peter a prophetic word at the supper, and Peter, you know, "Oh, that will never happen," but he went, you know, but it happened. He denied Jesus three times. So I'm assuming based on this that Peter, during all of this, after the crucifixion, that Peter had not rejoined with the disciples. Maybe he was somewhere in shame. Maybe he was somewhere embarrassed. You know, how many times have we done things? How many times have we said or did things that caused us to shut down? How many times have we did things or said things that cause us to be embarrassed or ashamed because we did that. Maybe family members seeing us do something or friends seeing us do something that was in contrary to who we said we were in Christ. Very much like Peter, because we know that Peter was a follower of Jesus. Matter of fact, I believe that Peter might have been one of Jesus' favorite disciples. Because if you read through the Gospels, Peter, when they're listing the disciples, Peter is always listed first. And so for him to be the first one, for him to be a follower, for him to be a man of God, and then turn around and deny Christ three times, could you imagine the turmoil that he was dealing with, the guilt that he was dealing with? So I'm sure that he was not with the disciples from the time Christ was crucified up until this point right here. He was embarrassed. I've had those moments. I don't know about you, but I've had moments where I've put myself in situations or I allow situations to bring me out of character, where I allowed situations to cause me not to do what God told me to do, where I allowed other people to question my salvation, to question if I was really a believer, to question, am I really a follower of Christ? And so I'm sure Peter felt the same way, but the angel was specific to let them know, go tell the disciples and Peter to let Peter know that he is included, that his denying Christ did not change. He still had faith in him, and it did not change who he was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure I would like to believe that Peter probably repented afterwards, that he probably repented and he probably felt bad. And I'm sure he probably thought that Jesus wasn't going to have nothing else to do with him. Have we ever had those moments where we've been through something or we're going through something and we didn't make the best decision and we thought, God, I know you don't want to have nothing else to do with me. You know, I done blew it. I done failed you. I'm unworthy. I'm not good enough. We all go through that. I don't know about you, maybe not, but I go through that. There's moments where I just feel like I'm such a failure when it comes to my walk in Christ Jesus. And so it's encouraging to know that even though Peter denied Christ three times, that he was still part of the numbers, that he was still written in the Lamb Book of Life, that he was still relevant. Amen. And so the angel let them know that. And so Peter, I'm sure, was tickled pink when he found out. And I guess I guarantee you one thing. When Peter was made aware that Jesus wanted him to meet with the rest of his disciples, while some of the disciples was unbelieving, because we found that out in here, that they had to get rebuked. Many of them was unbelieving. I bet you Peter wasn't unbelieving. I bet you he was very much part of being a believer. And so that's encouraging, again, to know that when we blow it, when we miss the mark, that God loves us so much and his grace is sufficient. And we're not talking about intentional. We're not talking about a lifestyle. When you get into a habitual lifestyle of missing the mark, what is missing the mark, Coach D, for those of that know? Sin. When you get into a lifestyle of sin, and sin is how you operate. We're not talking about that, but we're talking about the moment when you blow it, those moments when you miss the mark, those things that sometimes we don't even know about until God has to call us on it. You know, sometimes we're worried about the big sins. You know, we're worried about sex outside of marriage, or we're worried about profanity, or we're worried about stealing or killing. But sometimes the sin that dwells within us is in our mind. Sometimes we just got a bad attitude. Our thought life is bad. You know, we're thinking negative thoughts. You know, did you know that's a sin? Fear, worry, and doubt is a sin. You see right here, he said, because they didn't believe, in 14, it said that God, that Jesus came, which is God in the flesh, that he rebuked them. He rebuked them for their unbelief. Because when you're unbelief, believe it or not, it's tied to being and having a hardness. When we unbelievers, or we don't believe, or then we have a hardness of heart. A hardness of heart is what causes us not to believe. And so he had to rebuke them because they weren't believing. So when we think about sin or missing the mark, these are the things we need to think about. What's going on in my mind? What's my thought life like? It's, you know, am I constantly thinking negative? Am I constantly thinking of worrying? Am I constantly in fear? What's my thought life like? Because there to lie my sin. Yes, maybe I go to, well, we can't go now, but when church was open, yes, maybe I go to church every Sunday. Yes, maybe I pay my tithe. Yes, maybe I'm not committing adultery or fornication. Yes, I'm not murdering or stealing. But what is my thought life like? Am I murmuring? Am I complaining? Am I gossiping? Do I believe? Because you remember, this is about whoever so believeth. And we'll get more into that. But we want to be a part of the whoever's and the anyone's. Amen? So we find out that the reason why verse 7 said that go tell the disciples and Peter is because Peter was separated at that point in time. And Peter probably really believed that he had blew it, that there was no turning back now, that Jesus probably didn't want to have anything else to do with him. And Jesus surprised him and let him know, yes, you are still worthy. You are still a child of God. You are still my brother. And Peter was a part of that meeting. And then it goes further in the scriptures, and it talks about, I want to get into it, talking about Mary Magdalene. Why was it necessary in verse 9 when it began to tell us that now he rose early on the first day of the week? Who rose early on the first day of the week? Of course, they're talking about Jesus, and he appeared first to Mary. Mary was the first person he appeared to. And he said in there, he said he cast out demons. So why was it necessary in this particular scripture for him to let us know that Mary was someone that he had to cast out seven demons in? I believe that the reason why that information was relevant and why it's important to you and me is because it lets us know that God could use anybody, that God, that Mary was dealing with some demonic spirits such as some of us. Some of us came into accepting Jesus Christ, and even after we accept him, some of us still was dealing with demonic spirits. See, because demonic spirits ain't always the legions that's in you that's talking like the exorcist. See, the world will lead us to believe and give us a picture of these horrors. You know, you think about the omen and you think about the exorcist. So to many, many see, when you say demonic spirits, many see demonic spirits as being the exorcist, Linda Blair. But honey, let me tell you something. There are some demonic spirits that operate that don't look like that. Some demonic spirits don't have to necessarily be scary. See, when you start getting into lust and when you start getting into pornography and you start getting into, oh, Jesus, and you start getting into all that other stuff, those are demonic spirits. Those are demonic spirits that have been set on assignment to kill, steal, and destroy, kill your peace, steal your joy. You know, they're on assignment. And those are demonic spirits. And see, not all demonic spirits feel bad. As you see, I started to mention, when we talk about lust, let's keep it real. Some people have issues with lust because lust feels good. It feels good. And so you would never think that it's a legion. You would never think that it's something that's there to kill you. You would never think it's something there that's to destroy your relationship with Christ. You never would think that because why? It feels good. But it's a demonic spirit. And so the reason why he's mentioning this is because he's letting us know that Mary once was full of demonic spirit. But but God. But then she had a God experience, amen, through Jesus. And she was delivered and she was set free and she became one of his close followers. You know, we talk about the circles. I don't know if you ever heard me teach about the circles, you know, that you got your circle of three, and then the circle of 12, and then the circle of 70, and then the circle of 5,000. That's the way Jesus' circle was set up. And Mary was definitely a part of, you know, she was a part of that 70 circle. She wasn't the inner 12. That was the disciples. But even within the inner 12 of the disciples, there were still three that were closer to Jesus. Those were the ones that were constantly with him. When he went up to the Garden of Gethsemane, it was three that he took with him. So those were the three, and I would only imagine that those were ones that he had a close friendship with. Those were the ones that he felt like understood him. Guess who one of those was? One of those, anyone or whoever, whosoever was Peter. And those were the ones that he probably shared a little bit more with. Those are the ones that he probably poured into. Amen? And so we all have circles. And who's a part of your circle? Who's a part of your inner three? Who's a part of your inner 12? Who's a part of your 70? So you start looking. And as we live and as we grow, and especially as we grow into the things of God, we begin to take a look at our circle. Our circle begins to change. People that used to be really close to us is no longer close to us. Because now why? You're on a kingdom assignment. You've acknowledged God. You've accepted God. You became a whoever and anyone. So whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So now you are whosoever. And because you became a whosoever, you now have to begin to eliminate those who are no one, those who are not, you know, not ever, or those who just will not believe, those who don't choose to believe, those who do not choose to grow. Then your circle begins to transform. It begins to transition. And so now the three people that you thought would never, ever leave your side, the three people that you thought that you will always be with, those are the three people that you those are the three people that you would, you know, that you that could start transitioning out. I could tell you that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I can't say that I got the same three inner people in my life that I had 20 years ago or 30 years ago, because it's forever. I'm ever changing. I'm ever growing. We should be growing from glory to glory. And the more we grow in Christ Jesus, the more we grow in his word, the more we continue to do all that he's called us to do, we're going to start seeing a shift. Because even people we love dearly, family members, close friends, people, you know, childhood friends, those people begin to change. They begin, they're not part. They're not maybe going where you're going. And it's nothing personal. It doesn't have to be a fallout. It doesn't have to be a dislike, but what it does, you're going to start drawing people onto you that have like mind. You're going to start drawing people onto you that have kingdom purpose. There's going to be connections. And so you're going to find yourself only wanting to deal with people who have that's going the same direction you're going in. Amen? And it doesn't say that you don't pray for your loved ones. It doesn't say that you don't pray for, you know, whether it's family or friends. It doesn't say that you don't pray for those people. But what it's saying is that those people can't go where you're going until they have a transformation. You know, they have to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. And until they have that transformation of their mind, then guess what? They're not going to be on the same page with you. And oftentimes what you'll find is if you continue to try to stay in the same environment, oh, Jesus, if you continue to try to stay in the same environment, what you'll find is you'll be in constant conflict. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself in constant debate. You'll find yourself in constant argument. You'll find yourself constantly bumping heads. Because why? Because they can't hear what it is that's being said. They don't understand you. They're listening with their natural ears. They're looking with their natural eyes. So you can't talk things of the spirit with things of the flesh. The flesh doesn't understand the spirit. So if God is speaking to you through your spirit, sometimes other people can't even hear that. Because why? Operating in the spirit. They're in the flesh. So when you start talking, all they hear is kind of like a Charlie Brown teacher. And so now if you'll get into conflict, you'll get into disagreement. I've had it. I've experienced getting into disagreements. I've experienced finding myself getting upset, getting disappointed because I couldn't understand why the people I was speaking to didn't understand what I was saying. I didn't understand that, but I understand now. Amen? And I understand that my circle of three and my circle of 12 may not be the same people, that there will be some shifting in and out as I continue to grow. And you want to be careful who you're giving your attention to. You want to be careful who you're listening to, who's your authoritative figure, who's encouraging you, What words are being spoken into you? Because all this stuff that you take, see, words are life. Words travel on spirit. And so you better be careful what somebody's speaking to you, because if somebody is constantly telling you that you can't do something, guess what's going to happen? If you listen to that long enough, then that will become your because. You won't be able to do it. Why? Because you embrace the words that somebody's spoken, and those words will begin to define your future. Those words will begin to define your destiny. So you got to be careful. You want people around you that's positive, that's going to speak words of life, that's going to tell you you could do it, that's going to push you and provoke you to your purpose. Amen? You don't want people around you that's going to tear you down. You don't want people around you that's going to constantly be reminding you of your mistakes, are constantly telling you what you can't do, are constantly telling you what you're not. So you want people that's going to constantly be encouraging you, amen? And whatever those, I'm not even saying me as a believer or you as a believer, there's still, you always want to do inventory. You always want to come in and do a self-inventory. That's what praying and fasting is for. Praying and fasting is denying the flesh. It's causing the flesh to line up and be disciplined according to the will of God so that you could be able to do a self-inventory. Self-inventory is that if you have demonic spirits, and some of us don't even know, you know, and it's not until we get into prayer or fasting that God begins to reveal that those ugly uglies that's inside of us. And guess what? You could go through the prayer and fasting and get rid of one thing and turn around and find out you got something else you have to deal with. Amen. Or sometimes you can get rid of one spirit and you turn around and the next thing you know, you've been doing good. I'm going to give a good example of that. I used to be a smoker. You know, praise God, it's been years that I quit, but I used to be a smoker. And I smoked for many years and I would smoke and quit. And then I would go back to smoking and quit. And each time I went back to smoking, it seemed like it got worse. I seem like I smoked stronger cigarettes. I went from maybe having a habit before where I was only smoking 5 a day. But then it got to a point right before I stopped where I was at a pack a day. You know, it got worse. That it's a demonic spirit, and it attached itself, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And so, and I'm not, I just heard in my spirit, I want to hear my, right now, I'm going to stop because I heard in my spirit as I said that. There could be somebody that's struggling with cigarette smoking right now, and I'm gonna be praying right now that habit, that addiction will be removed from you right now in the name of Jesus. It is an addiction, and when I say it's a demonic spirit, I'm not saying you're demonic, but I'm saying that the enemy will use anything to attach to us that's gonna cause either a steal, kill, or destroy. You know, they don't say nothing in the Bible about smoking cigarettes being a sin. It really doesn't. But what it does say in the Bible is that our bodies are our temple. And so when we do things, whether it be overeating, whether it be overeating, gluttony, whether it be drinking too much, whether it's whatever that thing is, when you do too much of it, where it begins to take effect on your body, if it got your blood pressure shooting up, if it got you your blood sugar high, if it got your body deteriorating, if it got your body sick, then you know right there that's a demonic spirit, because God did not create sickness and disease. That is not His desire to see us sick and full of diseases. You know, it says in here, we're going to go in further, where He talks about, once He came, and He came unto His disciples, that when He sent them out for the Great Commission, that they began to lay hands on the sick, and they began to heal and different things. So again, sickness and disease is not of God. But we have to know that the enemy will connect us to things that seem pretty innocent in nature. You know, it seems pretty innocent. You know, like, what could be wrong with this? What could be wrong with enjoying that? But see, if we're not careful, the this's and the that will become abundant. And they will become what we call in CBM, under my mentor, repo, repetition, easy, pleasure, pleasure often have it. So as you repeatedly begin to enjoy these various things, it becomes easy. When you first smoked a cigarette, for instance, it wasn't enjoyable. It was you choke, you cough, and you were like, ugh, I'll never do that again. But then you find yourself at a party the next week, and before you know it, you was trying to smoke again. So eventually it became easy. So smoking cigarettes became easy. And then the next day, you know, it became a pleasure. Now you know how to inhale and blow circles and everything else. It was cool. See, in my day, I'm going to just keep it real. In my day, smoking cigarettes was cool. You, that was part of being a part of the cool crowd. I mean, they had commercials on TV. You know, they had commercials advertising cigarettes. And you had the pretty lady. You know, Virginia Slim, that commercial of Benson and Hedges, you had the pretty lady, and she was glamorous, and she had the cigarette. See, that was cool. It was glamorous. It was pretty. And so a lot of kids in my generation, we began smoking. Why? Because it was part of the in crowd. If you wanted to be cute, if you wanted to be glamorous, if you wanted to be cool, then you were smoking cigarettes. That's the truth. Now, I might be talking to some people. I might be aging myself. But I'm going to tell you, that's how many of us got in it. And it was once the enemy. See, that's how he works. He'll trick you with stuff. And once he gets you hooked, woo, and get his hooks in you, then that's when you find out that this thing that you done got hooked to is no good. Because it got to the point where now I'm hooked on cigarettes. But now they stopped the commercials. Why? Because the Surgeon General said, guess what? These things that make you cute, these things that you hooked on, these things that we've been advertising for the last 50 years, guess what? They now causing cancer. Now they're talking about it's causing cancer. And people that don't smoke will say to the one that smoke, you're stupid. Why would you continue to smoke and you know it causes cancer? Well, see, what they didn't understand was they didn't understand the stronghold of addiction. They didn't understand the demonic spirit of addiction. So it was easy for them to criticize. Ooh, Jesus. See, it's easy for us to criticize the crack person. It's easy for us to criticize the prostitute. It's easy for us to criticize the drug addict. See, we can always keep criticizing people because we don't understand the demonic stronghold. See, so that's why we're not supposed to be criticizing, but we need to be praying for people. When we know people are struggling with a stronghold, we need to be praying for them. Why? Because that's why it's called a stronghold. A stronghold. A stronghold, strong means it's not weak. You know, we know strong, when it's strong, when you think of something strong, it's strong. It's strong. It's going to be hard to break through. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to move. And so stronghold that the enemy puts on us through various things such as addiction, whether even a food addiction. How many of us are struggling with our weight? How many of us have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to get our weight off? Many of us have. Many of us have spent money trying to get our weight. It's a stronghold that the enemy will use to cause sickness and disease. And so we have to recognize what those strongholds are. We have to begin to fast and pray. See, I mean, I'm sure there's diets out there that work. I'm sure there's exercises out there that work. But guess what? If you don't, it's a spiritual fight. So if you don't deal with it in the spiritual realm first, you'll never get a possession over it in the natural. You've got to deal with it in the spiritual realm, and that's where it's hard. That's where it's hard to be still and become disciplined, because any of this is about discipline. Not using drugs anymore is about discipline. Not overeating and eating the wrong things is about discipline. Everything in life, even this Christian walk, is about discipline. We have to be disciplined in order to be successful. You know, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, everybody wants to be their own boss. But nobody really, you know, but many people don't want to be disciplined. It takes discipline to be your own boss. That means you can't sleep in. That means you can't stay up all night, you know, watching TV or whatever it is. That's not, you know, if you stand up all night because you got a vision and you're trying to bring that vision to pass, that's one thing. But if you stand up all night watching TV and doing things that's not contributing to your vision, then you know what? That's not discipline. and we need to be disciplined. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is taking me in this direction. We were supposed to be part of the whoever's and the anyone, but he's leading them. Allow God to lead, because this is blessing somebody. So again, he rebuked them because of their unbelief. And then in 16, it tells us, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And he said, so look, are you a part of the whoever? I'm a part of the whoever. I'm whoever. I believe, and I've been baptized. And because I've been believed and baptized, I am saved. Amen? And he said that, therefore, there is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you a whoever? And anyone who's in Christ Jesus has what? Eternal life. So you are a whoever. I'm a whoever. And it said, because we are the whoever, it said these signs will accompany us. That who believes in his name, whose name? In Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. So because I am a whoever in Christ Jesus, when them demons attack me, the demon of whatever it is, gluttony, you know, whatever the demon is, lust, whatever it is, you know, many of us have different thorns. But he's saying that when those demons attack me, what I could do? He said, in my name, they will, not they might, not say maybe, but he said they will cast out demons. So we can cast out demons. He said they will speak in new tongues. Yes, you have a prayer language. That's just not a gift that's privy to just some people. He said whoever. So if you're part of the whoever, then yes, you will speak in new tongues. You have a prayer language. Now, I'm not going to tell you, like I know that some religions believe, or some you know, some doctrines believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're going to hell, that you're not saved. I'm not going to say that. That's not going to be the testimony or the word that I give on today. I'm going right here, and it says, whoever believes. You're whoever. You believe. So, yes, you can cast. You have the ability to cast out demons in the name of Jesus. You have the ability to speak in tongues in the name of Jesus. He says that you will pick up serpents with your hands. So that don't mean go around being foolish and think you're just going to start picking up snakes. But what that does mean is that if you pick up a serpent, if a serpent bites you, that in the name of Jesus, you will live and not die. It says if you drink any deadly poison, you will live and not die. It will not hurt you. That's what it says here. That's the word. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. Glory to God. So why? This is a perfect opportunity. But guess what? I'm not saying be foolish. But if God's saying, ooh, Jesus, if God is saying that we could do all these things in the name of Jesus, then we should not be having nobody dying of nothing, whether it be coronavirus, diabetes, tuberculosis, I don't care what it is. Nobody should be dying if we have whoever in the earth. And I'm a whoever. And many of you are whoever's too. So it says that these are the signs that will accompany us. Why aren't these signs accompanying the whoever? Well, I believe that a bigger part of being a whoever, you can't just be a whoever. It says whoever believes. So the second part of that is I got to believe, not just be a whoever. You know, some people want to just be a whoever. And, you know, whoever is a part of the in crowd. But whoever believes and is baptized, these signs are going to follow them. And so you as whoever, do you whoever believe? Are you a believer? Have you been baptized? These signs will follow you. Amen. It's saying to you that no matter what you do, these things won't hurt you. It's saying that you have the ability and the power through Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you believe when you're praying for somebody for their recovery? Do you believe that they're going to be healed? Now, do you believe? Or You know, do you believe that they could be healed? Do you believe that if it's the will of God that he could deliver them? Do you believe that? That's what he's saying. Do you believe? According to your faith, be it unto you. How much faith do you have to believe? Amen. I find that in the Bible, whosoever believer, whether it's portions of that, because some of it, whoever believes or whosoever believes or anyone that believes, and it's depending on the, you know, what translation you're using, it's mentioned in the Bible 249 times, predominantly in the New Testament. So that's a lot of times where it be mentioned that he, you know, now some of it may not even be whoever believes. Some of them could say whoever don't believe. And then it tells you what happened to those who don't believe. It says in the Word of God that, you know, it says right here, but whoever does not believe will be condemned, you know. And so just think, you're whoever believes. So you, because you're whoever believes, you're not condemned. There's no condemnation. Because you're whoever believes that these are signs and wonders that's going to follow you, because you're whoever believes, there is no reason that you should be sitting up in your house, because right now the Great Commission goes forth. You know, the kingdom of God is still at hand, and the kingdom of God did not stop because the world stopped. The kingdom of God is not governed by coronavirus. The kingdom of God is not governed by President Trump. The kingdom of God is not governed by your unbelief or somebody else's unbelief or somebody else's religion or somebody else's belief system. The kingdom of God is not governed by that. It don't stop. We still, as kingdom citizens, have a job to do, and that is to complete the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is for us to go out into all the world and teach the gospel, to preach the gospel, to tell people about the good news. If I'm going to heaven, I want everybody to go to heaven with me. God said it's not his desire that any should perish. So if I'm going to heaven, I want you to go to heaven, and I want my friends, I want my family, I want everybody to be going to heaven with me. And so that's the Great Commission. How would people know? He said, how would they know? Unless they were taught. And how are they taught without a preacher? Guess what? A preacher ain't got nothing to do with what you see on the pulpit every Sunday. A preacher is somebody that's going out there and telling people about the gospel, about the good news, about Jesus Christ. When you go out and tell people that, you automatically become, you're preaching, you're ministering, you're telling people. And all of them have to go. He said, how would they know unless they're taught? And how would they be taught unless, you know, unless there's a preacher? So you need to get out there. And because the Great Commandment, I mean, the Great Commission was not a suggestion as a believer. It was a command. He commanded them to go out into all the world. So are you going out into all the world? When you in the store, do you get an opportunity to witness to somebody? It don't have to be, you don't have to be, you know what they used to call back in the, they used to call them holy roller Bible, you know, the Bible thumpers. That you get beat over the head in the Bible. You don't have to beat people over the head. You could just be having a friendly conversation in aisle 8. And somebody looks, you say hello to somebody, they say hello. Next thing you know, you get into a conversation. And when you wake up in the morning, after you tell God, thank you for waking you up, ask the Lord, how do you want to use me on today? Father God, give me an opportunity to witness. And I guarantee you, if you ask God that, he will show it. And I'm going to give one more testimony, and then I'm going to start bringing this to a close. I remember praying that. And I pray it often, but I can remember this one particular time that I was praying that. I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, I just pray that you would, you know, give me an opportunity to be a blessing. That was my prayer, to be a blessing to someone. And I'm just showing you how sometimes we can miss out on our blessing. I had prayed that morning. I went to work, did my job and stuff. I got off of work. And I went to the grocery store. I'm from Southern California, and we have a store called Albertson. And on Mondays, Albertson used to have a special. And on Mondays, Albertson had a special for $7.99. You would get 8 pieces of chicken. You would get rolls. You would get 2 sides. And sometimes a 2-liter of soda for $7.99. You can't beat that on a Monday. I sure missed that, too. And so anyway, I got from work. It was a Monday, and I said, well, I'm going to go over here real quick, and I'm going to get dinner for Monday night. And I went over here to Albertson's, and when I got out of my car, this lady immediately approached me in the parking lot. Now, I got to tell you, see, we got to change our mind. So I'm going to tell you, see, from where I come from, you just don't walk up on somebody. You don't just walk up on somebody, you know, you don't, especially if you don't know them. You don't know if somebody's coming to jack you. You guys know what I'm talking about. I'm using layman terms, but you don't know if somebody's coming to jack you. You don't know if they're coming. So you just don't walk up on somebody. So I already have this, even as a believer, I had this defense. You know, I'm just like, whoa, you know, she's walking up on me. So I'm letting her know I'm mean mugging now because I'm like, okay, wait a minute, what you doing? You know, she looked kind of rough. She looked like she had been through some stuff. And I'm saying this to give a testimony. So I'm looking kind of crazy because I don't know what she, you know, what she's going through. And she asked me for some money. So immediately, you know, first thing I thought, no, I don't have no money. Don't come asking me for no money. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, you just prayed and asked me to give you an opportunity to be a blessing. And immediately I repented within myself. And I asked the young lady, I said, I don't have money to give you. I said, but do you eat chicken? And at first she said, no. I said, well, if you don't eat chicken, then there's nothing I can, you know, do to help you. She said, what you mean? I said, cook chicken. She said, oh, meaning already cooked. She said, yes, I eat chicken. So I went into Albertson's and I got three meal specials, one for me and my household, and I gave her because it was her, another lady, and they had three or four kids, and they were just sitting there, you know, on the sidewalk, and I gave them that meal to bless them. Now, I'm not saying that to say that I bless somebody or to brag or boast, but what I'm saying that is to say this, that when we pray and we ask God for things, and when we ask God to show us and reveal things to us, when we ask God, we pray and we ask for answers. Lord, you know, I need an answer. I need how to do this. I need to know how to move forward. And God began to reveal things to us. Stay woke. Pay attention to what he's showing you. And that's I don't care what part of your life, every part of your life you should present before God. You should not run off and be in relationship that you haven't presented before God. Or you should not be getting involved in deals that you haven't presented before God. When you ask God to show you how you could be a blessing, be open. Be open to receive when he sends that opportunity before you, because you could have been like me, but you may have not caught on quick that you were getting ready to mess up your blessing. Amen? So be open and be willing to hear from God and be willing to it may not always look the way we perceive, and a lot of times when we want God to bless us, we want to say what it looked like. We pray, people pray for houses, and people pray for cars, and people pray for financial blessings. I'm not telling you that it's wrong. It's not, you know, that it's wrong for you to pray for those things. But see, you may be asking for a house, and then God gives you the perfect 3-bedroom house, and then you got an attitude, and you thinking, now God didn't hear you, or he didn't ask your prayer, because you wanted a 6-bedroom house. But God knew that if he gave you the 6-bedroom house, down the line you wouldn't have had enough money, or your job would have laid off, or something would have happened that would have put you in a position where you wouldn't have been able to afford the 6-bedroom house. You get what I'm saying? So he gave you a 3-bedroom blessing. Some of us run around here mad at God or mad because we couldn't get the car we wanted. Some of us want Bentley, and we're not even, and God is blessing us. He's blessing us with maybe a BMW, or maybe he's blessing you with a Buick, but you mad because you didn't get the Bentley. See, we gotta be in our faith and believing. We gotta believe that what God has for us is best. We all have desires of who, what, and what we want, but we gotta believe that God knows what's best. And I'm at a point in life where even if I want something, if God don't want it for me, I don't want it. Why? Because I know that if I get it, it's going to be some headache that's going to be tied to it. I don't know if I get it, it could be some demonic stronghold. If I get it, I may not be happy with it. If the very thing sometimes that we want would be the very thing that would kill us. Amen? And so we want to make sure that we are lined up vertically to God, vertically aligned, so that we can hear God when he speaks, that we will want to only desire what he desires for us. I'm telling you, there is a blessing in desiring what God desires for you. And it don't mean you can't petition him. There are some things I've been petitioning the throne of grace for many years and believing God for. And they haven't manifested, but I'm okay if they don't manifest, because I know that God knows more than I do. And I'm okay with that, because what I do know is I don't want any headaches. I don't want nothing that's going to make me sick. I don't want nothing that's going to have me worried. I don't want nothing that's going to have me fearful. I don't want anything that's going to have me not believing. And I definitely don't want anything that's going to knock me out of the will of God. Amen. And so with that being said, we just have to trust him. We want to be part of the whoever believes, and we are part of it, whoever believes. I would suggest that you go back to Mark 16 and read again and find out, because you are whoever believes and you've been baptized, find out what's the sign and wonders that follow you. Find out what the blessings are that come with being a whoever believe. Amen. So, Father God, I just thank you on tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. I thank you for your anointing, Father. Father God, I thank you that not one person listening in on tonight, Father, will leave here the same. Father God, I pray that there's been a revelation knowledge, that they will see what's been spoken on the inside so that they can manifest it on the outside. Father God, I thank you that there's no logos here, Father, but there is rhema, Father. I thank you that your word is life, that it's productive, and Lord, that it goes out to do what you send it out to do, and that it will not return unto you void. Father God, I thank you right now, Father, that you are in control of everything, Father. Father, we bind the spirit of fear. We bind the coronavirus. We bind sickness and death, Father God. We bind all the assignments and all the attempts, Father God, that the enemy has brought forth on the earth, Father God. Father God, we know that you are not the author of sickness, disease, and destruction. But, Father God, we also know, Father God, that you could use what the enemy meant for bad and turn it around for our good. So, Father God, with the enemy meant for bad, I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing families together. With the enemy meant for bad, I thank you now, Father God, that we're being still and we're listening, Father God. I thank you right now, Father God, that your glory could be manifested in this time, that people are being healed, that not all sickness is unto death, Father God. I thank you that there's people that got testimonies, Father God, who were sick, Father, who are now healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, that you're showing us in this time that God and God alone, Father God, is the healer, that he is the author and the finisher of our faith, Father God. Father, many of us on tonight could have been in our deathbed, Father. But glory to you, Father God, by your grace we are not. And Father God, that's a testimony. Father God, I pray right now that these warriors that's listening in, that you will send them out into all the earth, Father God, to tell the good news, Father God, that they will not be afraid, for you are with them, Father God, that they will not have to be dismayed. Father God, that they don't have to be in fear, that they don't have to worry about if I have the mask or don't have the mask, if they run out of sanitizer or they run out of Lysol. Father God, that they don't have to fear, Father. Father God, for we know that the worst case scenario is that should you decide that you call us home, that we'll be coming home to you, Father. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I thank each and every one of you for listening in on tonight. And I want to just take a moment. We are running behind, but I always want to give the invitation and the opportunity. If you are listening in on tonight and you have a prayer request, or you're listening in tonight and you're really not sure if you're part of the whoever or the whosoever believes, you know, maybe you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, but maybe you've never given your life over. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. And if that is you on tonight, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have you either need prayer or you have a comment or you you want to just maybe have someone pray with you, the prayer of salvation, because that's what it's about. If you don't want to do it on tonight, find you someone that you know who is a believer. I know you know somebody. And if you know that person, call them and ask them to pray with you. Ask them to pray with you. Or if you just go before the throne of grace, maybe you believe, but you know, maybe you backslid. Maybe you gotten into something different and you're doing some other things, or you started doing some other things and now you see that life is just not working and things are just seem like they're falling around you and you just seem to not be able to get back on track. It's an easy way. His way is easy. And all you have to do is just get on your knees and go before God and ask God, you know, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to show you a better way. Let him know that you need him. Just humble yourself and just submit to him and repent. That's what he's saying, just repent. And then when you repent, believe. Believe that he forgave you. Believe in salvation. Believe that you are now whoever believes. So when you pray, pray earnestly from your heart and believe what you're praying. Amen. And so again, I guess no one has any prayer requests. So again, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Join us next week on Thursdays. I'm here every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Central time, and 10 p.m. Eastern time. And each week we bring a different, whatever the Lord sees fit. I'm bringing practical principles unto perception based on the Word of God. This is about salvation. This is about kingdom business. And this is about us growing to the next level. Amen. So again, thank you for tuning in. I want each and every one of you to know that you are truly loved and appreciated. And I look forward to being with you next week. Have a good night.